It's very unusual for me to be teaching women's studies, by the way. Thinking about you all day. I have two daughters, Joanna and Hannah. Hannah's got the flu, whatever's going around, you know, and you have daughters and you think, you know, I would do anything that they needed, run to the store, help them if they needed healing, and it was within my ability. And I think that the Lord loves his daughters more than I love my daughters. He loves all of you. And, you know, we're going to look into Psalm 119, but, you know, just say, Lord, whatever it is you have for their heart tonight, please let that come across. And I hope that that will happen. Let's ask him, Lord, I know you've overheard. Lord, you say we're two or three are gathered in your name. You're already there waiting, Lord, when they come together. And Lord, you've always known tonight we will journey through the rest of the evening, but you've known it, Lord. You're here, Lord, by your own word. And Lord, speak to us, Lord. Renew us, heal us, Lord. Encourage us. Give us direction, Lord. Let your word, Lord, be alive to us. Let our fellowship be sweet, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit move among us this evening. We trust you to do that, Lord. Lord, we think of, Lord, you go to the house of Lydia, one woman, Lord, in Philippi, in all of Europe. Converted through her, all of the United States brought the gospel through Europe, Lord. What you've done, Lord, and how you can use one life. So, Lord, this evening, give us our portion, Lord. Speak to my heart as well. We look to you and we pray in your name. Amen. Psalm 119. We are in verse 153. And I'll read down to 160. It says, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. King James is quicken, it's revive me. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, Lord. Quicken me, revive me, according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy statutes. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. And quicken me, revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So David pouring out his heart here, you know, he's speaking of persecutors, the wicked, enemies, and so forth. You know the things that David went through in his life with Saul and with Absalom and the difficulties he went through. But for you and I this evening, we're not at war. This is not enemies the way David may have been thinking of it when he wrote this. But this is a song. You know, it's an acrostic. You guys have talked about that. And it's a song. It's one of the hymns of Israel, and it was made to be learned. And it's been that way for generations and for untold thousands of people that weren't at war, that weren't involved in that. And yet the psalm has been so much to them. And this evening, we may not have enemies carrying rifles, but we have an enemy of our soul. There's warfare. We have persecutors, just someone, sometimes a good friend, just talking about us or there's gossip, or, you know, there are things, ways that we can be hurt. And in this, David says, well, this is what I leaned on. This is what I looked to. Twice he's going to say the word affliction. Twice he's going to say the word deliver. He's going to say quicken me three times as we go into it. So there's repetition in what he's saying here as we look to it. So he begins by talking about affliction. Now, you guys remember, I'm sure, because you've been through this already. He said, you know, earlier, Lord, you know, you afflicted me in faithfulness. You know, I accepted your afflictions. They came from you. This seems to be something David's seeing come from another direction, from outside. And he's asking God then to help him with the afflictions that he's going through. So he says here, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. And by the way, as we go through, just the language is beautiful. They're all imperatives, like it says here, Lord, you must consider me. He's pleading, and you must deliver me. You know, you must plead my cause. You know, you must quicken me. You must revive me. So it's interesting to follow through here what he's saying. Consider, the idea is to bring to mind, Lord, you have to bring to mind. You have to think about mine, singular. So everyone in this room has the right to say, Lord, consider, think about my personal things here, Lord. I know that you do that. You put it in your word. You didn't put it there to frustrate us. Consider my affliction. It can mean depression. It can mean poverty. It can mean something that happens from an enemy or someone in our own house. Consider mine affliction. And he says, and then you have to deliver me. Interesting, you have to rescue me, or you have to set me free. That's the Hebrew word. You have to rescue me, Lord. You have to set me free. I haven't forgot thy law. And, you know, the Old Testament, forgetting God, forgetting the law, is not like, we're going Tuesday night to church. What is it again? Bible study. What's a Bible? You know, we don't forget his word. The idea here is I haven't put your word aside. I haven't pushed it off to the side and made it less important. He says, Lord, you know that. So consider, Lord, be thinking about my affliction, Lord, and rescue me. Because I haven't pushed your word to the side. It isn't that I'm not thinking about it. And then he says, plead my cause and deliver me. And then he says, revive me. And by the way, it's not the word you would think of, or I would think of, revival. Like, pour out, we want a Holy Spirit revival. We can certainly make that application if we want to. Throughout here, Lord, bring me back to life. You know, kind of, you know, stir me up again. Let me get back on my feet. Revive me in that sense. I'm just cast down. I'm afflicted. I'm broken, Lord. I just need you to, you know, to get me up again, to give me life. So he says here, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me, he says, according to thy word. So it's wonderful. The word of God will always do that for us. But he says, plead my cause here. And it's a word from the ancient courtroom. He's saying, plead my case. Lord, there's a case against me. And there's a case against every one of us. Every one of us. And it's insurmountable. It's unimaginable. We were all conceived in sin and born in iniquity. We all have a fallen nature. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, that our adversary, the devil, he accuses us day and night before the throne of God. And it doesn't say anywhere that what he says isn't true. He's got the goods on us, doesn't he? He knows each person in this room, what we struggle with, what we shouldn't be doing that we do. He knows. It doesn't say that, but he says here, Lord, you need to plead. my case. You're the one. We have, you know, John says, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer. We have a lawyer with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, who's the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the whole world. He says, in the courtroom, the judge is there and the accuser is there. But the lawyer's there to plead your case. And he says, Lord, you have to do this for me. Plead my case. And the remarkable picture, of course, is our lawyer. You know, it says wonderful counselor in Isaiah. His name shall be wonderful counselor. It's not a counselor like we need counseling. It's wonderful lawyer. We don't always put those words together in our mind unless the lawyer is helping us, of course. But that's the idea here. Plead my cause, Lord. Take that position. And it's wonderful when your lawyer can walk up to the bench and say, Dad, Father, this one's mine, blood bought, and plead our cause and bring to bear in our lives that which we could never earn, we could never deserve. Plead my cause. And again, he says, deliver me. Now, here's the interesting thing. It's not the same word as in verse 153. 154, deliver me, there is a different word, and it's the word in the Old Testament we get kinsman redeemer from. In the Old Testament, there wasn't a police force. If something happened to you or you needed to get out of a financial mess or somebody murdered somebody in your family, the person that would step in would be the kinsman redeemer. And he had to be the closest relative. He had to be the closest blood relative. He had to be kin. And as he says here in the second word, you know, he says, plead my cause. Lord, my case, and it's a legal case. I can't win without you. Plead my cause and deliver me. You're my closest kin. You're the one, Lord, that can step in and do this. You're my kinsman redeemer. And Paul, I believe, in Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. He feels them because he was tempted in every way as you and I are, yet without sin. So he's our kinsman. He can plead our case because he put on our skin. He walked among us. He knows what it's like to be thirsty and hungry and betrayed and worn out and beaten. So David is saying here, you have to plead my case. This court thing, I don't have the goods, I don't have the excuse. You have to do this for me, Lord. You have to deliver me and do it according, quicken me, revive me according to thy word, which we're going to hear about three times in these verses. He says, salvation is far from the wicked. The reason, it isn't God's fault, for they seek not thy statutes. And it's a very interesting phrase here. Look, salvation is far from the wicked. It's a different thing if you say, well, the wicked are far from salvation. Because if you say the wicked are far from salvation, that means, well, maybe they can repent, they can get saved, they can get closer. But once you're saying salvation is far from the wicked, they have no means to bridge that gap. And he's saying, but the reason that's like that is because they refuse to seek your statutes. They refuse your word, Lord, because of their own decision. God, you know, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. He says the wicked, you know, salvation is far from the wicked because they've made a decision. They don't want anything to do with your statutes. Verse 156, he says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me again. We have that nine times in Psalm 119. Quicken me, revive me. And the last three times are all in this psalm. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me now according to thy judgment, or thy justice, literally, is what the word means there. So great are thy tender mercies. very, again, visceral. You know, he's pleading to him as our kinsman redeemer. And then he says, great. It's the same word down in the next verse. You see where it says 157, it says, many are my persecutors. It's the same word there. Many are your tender. Great. The idea is multiplied are your tender mercies. And the Hebrew word there, tender mercies, sometimes is translated womb or bowels. It talks about the deep feeling, the way when a woman carries a child, when you're feeling something deep down in your gut and it's visceral. He says, Lord, multiplied, many are your tender. You feel it, Lord. You, what I'm asking for is deep down in your being. You know, whatever we're going through, is there, you know, affliction, hardship? Are we paying the bills? I have a prodigal. You know, things are bad at home. I don't know how I'm going to get ahead. I'm tempted with this. I'm struggling with this. And he's saying here, but we have an advocate. We have someone to plead our case in the courtroom and to revive us according to his word. And multiplied are his tender mercies. He's our kinsman. He feels deeply the stuff we're going through. He's not distant from us. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. He's not distant from us. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Again, revive me according to thy justice, Lord. Don't revive, you're the lawyer in the courtroom. Revive me according to thy justice, Lord. It's a different kind of justice than the justice that the world understands. And now he uses the same word in 157. He says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies multiplied. I don't know, you guys can all think of sitting here right now, somebody who's under your skin. Sometimes we deserve it and sometimes we don't. But we can all think of someone. Many multiplied are my persecutors and my enemies. Yet, huge word, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. The word decline there is the Hebrew word that means to stretch. It means to stretch. It means to bend. And he says, look, many are my persecutors. Lord, there's pressure. Yet, I don't bend your word, Lord. I don't stretch it out to mean something it doesn't mean. I don't take the meaning. I don't water it down. I don't bend it. I don't stretch it, Lord. Yet, he says, you know, I don't decline from thy testimonies. And he says, and I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. The reason, because they kept not thy word. David, and it's hard to know exactly when he wrote this, probably later in his life. This is a man who had committed murder, who had committed adultery, you know, who had been, you know, come before the Lord and said, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a broken spirit you won't despise. Because there was no sacrifice for murder. There was no sacrifice for adultery in the law. You committed either one of those, you were put to death. He said, Lord, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a broken and a contrite spirit you won't despise. And here he says, Lord, when I looked at transgressors and saw them, he said, I was grieved. Doesn't say I was furious. I wasn't infuriated. I wasn't filled with hate. When I saw them, I was grieved. And that's a love word. When you're grieved, it's because you care. He was grieved. And it's imperfect there. He means, it actually says, I became grieved. I'm still grieved and remained grieved. You and I, look, you know, we watch in the news, we see what's going on. So we have relatives and friends, and we understand they're transgressors. And sometimes it just breaks our heart. And David understood the goodness of God and how it had been, you know, worked in his own life and the redemption he experienced. And now he says, well, when I looked at the transgressors, I was grieved. And I remained that way, Lord. And I think all of us have to do that in the world we're living in. I believe Jesus is coming soon. You don't have to say amen. I don't care what you believe. I believe he's coming soon. You know, with the new administration in there, I'm watching everybody be increasingly confident. I think we should pray for the president. You know, I enjoy watching some of it. Don't get me wrong. But Paul said, when they say peace and safety, that's when sudden destruction will come. And the whole world is watching what we're doing, what the president's doing. Peace, peace in Ukraine, peace in the Middle East. Safety. We're going to put up a, you know, an iron dome system over our whole country, you know. And I pray for them. And believe me, there are so many people around him that are born again. I know for a fact. So I'm watching it all. But it isn't like if the election had gone the other way, I'd have been saying then, oh, we got to be out of here soon, you know, with this situation. No, either way. Either way. And he says it's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to come when you least expect it. And the thing is, then, as we look at the world around us, friends, relatives, transgressors, part of that should grieve us. I have old friends that I still see, and they're not saved yet. After all these years. And he says, I looked at the transgressors, and he says, Lord, I was grieved because they kept not thy word. They didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't keep your word. And now again, he says, for the second time, consider. You have to think about this. You have to, Lord, consider how I love thy precepts. In contrast with verse 158, where they don't care about your word, he says, Lord, but consider how I love thy precepts. And again, quicken me, revive me. And he says, do it this way. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Revive me according to thy loving kindness, which is the chesed in the Hebrew. It's the covenant love. It's undeserved. Abraham found himself in a covenant with the Lord. The Lord had made the covenant. It was one-sided. It was unchanging. And he says, Lord, you know, breathe life into me. Let me stand on my feet, Lord. Revive me according to your covenant love, Lord. You know, when the worst days come for us, we know that we're blood bought. When the worst days come for us, we know that on the cross, our sweet Savior said, it is finished. It's done. Fully paid for. In the days when I struggle with myself, he will always still meet with me and bring my heart to the truth that he'll revive me in the context of his loving kindness, his covenant love. How remarkable. How wonderful. And he ends by saying this, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. It's interesting, the beginning of thy word is truth, the way it's written out in the Hebrew. Thy word is from the beginning. And it isn't the same, the two other times it talked about the word is the law, the Torah. Here it is just his word itself. And he says, your word is from the beginning. The origin of your word is truth. Your word doesn't become true. It doesn't get more true as we see things happen around it. His word itself is truth. Jesus, when he prayed in John 17, verse 17, he said, Father, sanctify them, set their lives aside by thy truth. Then he said, thy word is truth. He didn't say thy word is true. Certainly it is, but that's not what he said. He said, thy word is truth. The beginning of thy word, the origin of thy word, is truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing before that. Only God. How can there be nothing? We can't even, the concept of something we can't even sit with. Nothing. Wasn't empty space. There wasn't space. There was nothing. His word, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, he wraps this up remarkably by saying, thy word, you know, is from the beginning, or the beginning of thy word, most properly, the beginning of thy word is truth. It's unchanging. Doesn't matter what TikTok is saying. It doesn't matter what our, you know, media is saying. Doesn't matter what social media is saying. Doesn't matter what the world is saying about morality, what the world is saying about what's right and wrong sexually, what's right and wrong the way we should treat our children, what's right and wrong with this. It doesn't matter, because before anything rolled out in the beginning, thy word was truth. And truth is unrelenting. It never changes. That's what makes it truth. If it changed a little, it wouldn't be truth. And remarkably, as he pulls this all together, Lord, consider my affliction. You have to do this, Lord. You have to put your mind on me. You have to consider my affliction, he says, and rescue me. Then he says, plead my court case, Lord. Do that, because what's against me is insurmountable. It's immeasurable. Plead, Lord. You have to plead my court case, and then be my kinsman redeemer. You can feel me. You know what I'm going through, because you're the perfect priest. Touch with my infirmities. He says, salvation is far from the wicked, because they don't want anything to do with your word. But multiplied are your tender mercies from viscerally. Lord, you feel it, Lord, like a womb, like deep in the bowels. Lord, quicken me according to thy tender, your judgments. Then he says, many of my persecutors and my enemies, many are multiplied, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Good thing for us to think about. What's bumming us out? What might be hurting us? People that might be driving us crazy. The Lord says, even with that, and it's going on, yet I don't decline from thy word. I don't bend it. I don't stretch it. Your word is your word. It determines my behavior. It determines my forgiveness. It determines, you know, my freedom to come to you. It determines how I live. It determines what's right. It determines what's wrong. I don't stretch it. I don't bend it. I don't decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors. It broke my heart. I was grieved because they wouldn't keep your word. Consider how I love thy precepts, and revive me, O Lord, according to your covenant love. The beginning of thy word is truth. It's unchanging. It's the origin of the word is truth. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Things may change in our culture. They may change in our family. They may change in our lives for one reason or another. But his truth endures forever. Doesn't change at all. And because of that, we're all going to be in heaven. Because of that, I'll be able to get there and see what I got wrong tonight when I taught through these verses. Because of that, you know, all of the affliction, all of the persecutors, all of those things will be a memory. They'll be gone. And he'll wipe the tears, our kinsman redeemer that has this feeling deep within himself for us, who pleads our cause in the courtroom, who says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. He'll wipe the tears away from our eyes when we stand before him. Let's pray. Lord, I just look to you, and I don't know what everybody here is going through. Lord, you do. But we're thankful we have a place to come to. We're thankful we have worship, Lord. We're thankful we have Sunday school for our kids and a coffee shop and a bookstore and security and all of these things, Lord. But Lord, all of that is the surrounding things, Lord. All of this happens and we come, Lord Jesus, because we want to meet with you, Lord. And you know each of us, Lord. You know those this evening that may have been struggling with something, Lord. Just by your Holy Spirit, by your word, you're reminding them to hold on to your love, to your word, to your promises. Lord, those that are making decisions, Lord, remind them that your word is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Lord, remind anyone here this evening that is in one type of affliction or another that those afflictions change the way that we pray. And they draw our hearts more towards heaven, Lord, than an easy day will do. So, Lord, in all of this, you're woven into all of this with your love, with your care, Lord, as you draw your daughters together here this evening, Lord. Minister by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Have their hearts, their thoughts, Lord. And we trust you to do that, Lord Jesus, and pray in your name. Amen.